Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. So for those of you out there looking to improve your career or get a different job or get a job, maybe you've been downsized, right-sized, shuffled, displaced, whatever, or you're ready to return to the workforce for whatever reason after a hiatus, then this program is for you. And for those of you who have a job, this program is for you. Or those of you who are employers thinking of hiring somebody, which I can relate to because I need to staff up a little bit, this show's also for you. So we have a big deal on the line. Abby Kohut is our guest. She is president of Staffing Symphony, a human resource and career development professional, and the website absolutelyabby.com, just like it sounds. She's written a book, Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets. She's all over this. She's just done a tremendous amount in the industry of helping others find jobs and coaches and teaches, and she's been on featured on several television news and radio segments in Fox News, Good Morning Connecticut, Bloomberg Radio. She's done a lot of work. This is her mission. This is her passion. She's on a mission to help 1 million job seekers. So we'll maybe have her help a few more today. Abby, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
Hey, listen, thanks for taking time out of that. Are you still on your road trip to get the million job seekers to coach them? Are you still out there in the RV?
That is exactly what's happening. So I'm talking to you today from Austin, Texas.
All right. Well, if I knew sports, I would make a sports reference now about some sort of Texas football or baseball, basketball team, but I don't know sports. So,
if I knew sports, I would agree with you.
All right. Well, I have been to Austin, and everything's big out there. So find your way around carefully in that RV.
I will. Thank you.
Well, listen. So let's just dive in if we can. Give me a little bit more background on you and what you're doing, and then we'll get into some of the things that maybe can help other people with, you know, their job searches, and we'll hit it primarily from the person seeking the job, but also maybe a little perspective on what employers are looking for as well. So fill in the resume a little bit for us, where you're coming from and why you're doing this.
Sure. Well, I've been in corporate human resources in recruiting for 18 years. And as I was doing recruiting, I was interviewing people, and it was a lot of fun to make offers. However, I always knew the reason why the person across from me wasn't getting the job. So all those people I had to reject all the time, and I knew the reasons, and I wasn't able to tell them. Because in HR, we're cautioned against giving specific reasons and feedback. It's really not our job to do that anyway.
Right.
So I had to hold in all of these secrets, and then eventually in 2009, it came out in the form of a blog, and then later on, it came out in the form of a book, and now I go around speaking and teaching people the absolute truth, and that's why I call myself Absolutely Abby.
I love it, and I have been in those situations where I've interviewed somebody to come to work for my company, and I'm going, I can't tell you why I can't hire you, because, you know, as you very well know, Abby, there's just too much downside to that. There's really very little upside other than being a decent human being by coaching somebody a little bit, but I understand where you're coming from there, and it's tough because some people, I think, could, if they could just avoid a few basic mistakes or, you know, I remember not long ago, this is maybe 6 months or maybe a little longer, I interviewed somebody for a position, and one of the questions I always ask is, well, tell me a little bit about what you know about my company.
Mm-hmm.
And she could tell me absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, it's not good at all.
I mean, at least hit the website.
Yeah. There's a lot of little teeny tiny mistakes that people make, and that's really what inspired me to do this work, is because I believe everyone's just a question away, or a little change away, you know, a new suit away from getting a job. And so that's what I do. I teach people all these little teeny tiny little secrets, because I think if you just make one little tweak, you might get a job.
Well, that would, again, speaking as an employer, and I've got 15 wonderful people that work with me here at my company, you know, we want to hire good people, and we need help. And as the economy continues to build, and different industries, of course, are experiencing faster growth, and some are even taking it on the chin right now, like the energy sector. But you know, we need good quality people, and we are not afraid to hire them. We're not afraid to treat them well and to give them, you know, what they need. But it's getting them on board.
That's right. It's a big deal. And the thing is, a lot of companies don't understand how important hiring the right person is, especially with your size company. I mean, if Microsoft makes a bad hire, Microsoft's not going to go out of business. But if you make a bad hire, I mean, it could be really detrimental for your business. So the smaller the company is, the more important it is to figure out how to hire the right person.
Amen to that. I mean, that's the, and I think that the job seeker needs to understand the stakes that, you know, obviously the getting the job is very, very important to the person looking for one, but especially for a small business, which of course, despite what may be said out there, small businesses are still the backbone of this country. And there are a lot of us out here. And for us, as you said, we really need to make sure that that person's going to be a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, that person could generate extra sales for you. It could help you reduce costs. And, I mean, it's the position of a recruiter is so vital in a company. And even human resources people in general, it's vital. And a lot of people are not taken, a lot of people are taken for granted. And I think that's probably why a lot of HR people end up going to my side, which is trying to help the rest of the world. It's, you know, it's sometimes it's a frustrating game because you do so many great things for a company, but it's not very well appreciated. So wow. I really love the side I'm on right now.
Well, that's very good. And we'll talk more about the love that job seekers need to have for the job they're looking for after the break. Abby Kohut is our guest, president of Staffing Symphony, human resource and career development professional. Website is absolutelyabby.com. The book, Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets. And hold right there. We'll be right back with Abby.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Ask a stockbroker how you should invest your money, and what do you think he'll say? Ask an insurance agent the same question, and what do you think you'll hear? Unfortunately, when an advisor is limited in what he can offer, he is often understandably biased. You'll need to ask questions. Ask advisors what products and services they can and can't offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This public service has been brought to you by Holland Financial. We want to help you plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back. Abby Kohut on the line with us, and we're digging into taking control of your career, looking for new opportunities, and searching for that job that you love. That's really, you know, that's what everybody wants, right? Or is that what, that's what they should want, I suppose, right, Abby?
Oh, yeah. It would be really great if everybody would spend the time to figure out what they really want to do, and then to go for that job in particular. I believe that if you love what you're doing, it makes the day go by faster, it doesn't feel like work, and you'll probably get promoted quickly because you really love what you're doing, and there's so many good reasons to do that.
Amen. I tell people, and I try to make sure they know I'm not being corny or sappy about it, but I love my job. I know why I'm on this planet, and it's fun. I enjoy it. I like it. You know, it's not perfect, and there's times when things come up you got to deal with. You know, there's always going to be challenges because it's people, and we interact with each other, and it's not always perfect and smooth, but, you know, but I like it.
Yeah, well, I love what I'm doing now, and I loved recruiting. Don't get me wrong. It was a great 18 years, but it's just, this side of it is a lot more fun. And mm-hmm. I still do recruiting as a consultant, but I'm not full-time. It's not 40 hours a week, so I get to do both. It's great.
That's very good. Well, let's get into some of the nitty-gritty, because that's, you know, that's where the rubber meets the pavement. Some of the questions I know that people have, and some of it's old school, or maybe it still needs to be, you know, part of what the professional job seeker is looking for. And let's start with some basics, like, do candidates still need to send in a cover letter with their resume?
Yeah, and I'll ask you what you think about this, but here's the deal. There's not a lot of facts associated with job search, and this is what I teach people as a speaker. And so this is my opinion. My opinion is that cover letters are vital to your search. Now, I'll tell you that headhunters do not read cover letters for the most part, but since I'm a corporate HR professional, a contract recruiter, I do read cover letters, and sometimes cover letters will make you get a job.
I would agree
They'll
with that.
They'll actually get you a job. It's so, there's one woman, and this kind of relates to your show, David. This one woman wrote in a cover letter and said, money, money, money. All I think about every day is money. I'm the person my friends call when they need me to negotiate a new car or something like that. It was all about money, money, money. And I took the cover letter and the resume and I walked it into the head of finance's office and I said, you have to read this cover letter. And she did. And we brought this woman in. Her name is Helene. And she got the job from her cover letter because it was all about a job where she needed to negotiate for our company.
Isn't that great? Well, see, as an employer, I will tell you that the answer is yes. I would actually give at least, I would give somewhere around 50% weight to the cover letter because if, first of all, if the cover letter is not, doesn't look nice, not on decent paper, if it looks like it was printed on a 1975 dot matrix printer, I'm already going to say, I don't think so. And, you know, and you look for spelling, you look for things that are very basic because if you can't get the, and probably most importantly, Abby, I looked that they have acknowledged the fact that they're sending a resume in for a specific position that's been listed or identified. And it's just not somebody shooting out resumes to everybody that's got a job posted. I look for a little bit of individualized response.
That's totally true. And not only that, they need to have the name of the person they're sending the cover letter to. And maybe 10, 20 years ago, that wasn't easy because there was really no way to figure out the name of a president of a company or a VP of a department. But these days, using social media and LinkedIn, you can definitely figure out a name to put on the top of that cover letter, even if you have to put the name of an HR person. And you don't have to get it right. If you just get a name in the company, I believe you get the point.
I think so, too. If you say to whom it may concern, then my first thing in my mind is it doesn't concern me.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great quote.
Feel free to use that. No, feel free to use that, Abby. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutelyabby.com and absolutely use that line, Abby. Okay, so we do need cover letters. We need to be, and while we're on it, if you don't mind, the resume itself, it's got to be clean, straightforward. It needs to be quality. It needs to have, if there is an error of any kind, I've got a question mark already.
Well, you know what, though? I'd tell you, if I read 100 resumes, I would find at least 90 errors. I'm really, really good at spotting those errors, little things like spaces that are right when the bullets don't align. Now, it depends on the job that I'm interviewing a person for. So let's say I'm looking for a scientist. It's not really all that important that they line up the spacing as much as if I'm looking for an administrative assistant. In that case, you're supposed to be finding the mistakes that your CEO is making for them. And if you can't find your own mistakes, well, how are you going to possibly do that job? So it really depends on the job as to whether you can just throw out all those resumes. Because really, if I threw out all the resumes with typos, I'd be left with very few. So it really depends on the job.
Choosy mothers choose no typos. I like that.
Yeah, that's great.
So how about temporary jobs while you're looking for a job? Is that okay? Is that cool? I would actually be impressed with somebody who's gotten a job and is working until they find the job they really want. That would be a check mark in my evaluation.
Yeah, for sure. Let's say you get a temporary job and you turns out you're really good at it. Someone might decide to hire you. If not, they will be a good reference for you. If not, it gives you something to talk about on an interview. I mean, there's so many reasons to do contract work, consulting work, temporary work, and there's many of those jobs are out there because employers are reluctant to hire full-time these days.
Mm-hmm. I agree. On a related note, what if somebody's got a long gap in their employment? How do they handle that either on the resume or in the conversation when the prospective employer starts asking questions about the gap?
You know, it's kind of interesting. I once sat in on a panel of recruiters like me, and all recruiters on that panel said the same thing, that they want to hear the real truth about what's going on in someone's life. So if you have a long gap, and one of the things that you did is you spent time with your family, with your young children, just say that. Just say, you know what, I've been out for 2 years, but I really didn't start looking until maybe a couple months ago because I really wanted to just spend time with my kids, and I didn't have that time for the past, you know, many years.
Wait.
So I decided to stay home with my kids, or I decided to enjoy life with my wife and travel.
Are you suggesting, Abby, that somebody be truthful?
Well, yeah, I believe everybody should just tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Now, if you're somebody that's been struggling to find a job and you really haven't had anything to do, first thing I would do is go get something to do. I would get a volunteer position. Absolutely. Go do that. It will fill in a gap in your resume. Go teach a class. go take a class. These are things you can do to fill in the gap. But you really just need to be able to talk about these things in a confident way. And if you really haven't had anything to do, you can say, you know what, at the beginning when I got laid off 2 years ago, I didn't have a LinkedIn network. I didn't have a network. I really had let my network slide. And so it's taken me a number of years to build that back up. And now I'm up and running and I'm getting calls all the time. So I'm sure I'll be landing soon.
I like that. Well, and I think that if somebody, you know, if they're honest about it, I think the employer can understand, empathize. And I had a person we found to come to work for our company, Abby, that they had made the choice to stay home with kids. And that, and they had left a career to do that. And we got really lucky to find her because she's just turned out to be spectacular and has helped us in a lot of ways, but she was just very candid about that.
Yep, and that's why I think if you just tell the truth, people will understand because you are dealing with humans. And if you just believe that the person sitting across from you is a human just like you, they have feelings just like you, they'll be able to empathize.
Fair enough. Empathy is a good thing. How about the economy we're in? How does that affect? And again, different parts are growing quicker than others, and there are pickups in different industries. You know, if somebody's trying to find a position, maybe they were laid off, or they've had to relocate, or they've had some change. How about taking a pay cut?
Well, you can if you need to, but you don't necessarily have to. There are many companies that realize that if they offer you a job below market level, that you might still continue to look. And so they realize if they say, well, the job normally pays 100, but I'm just going to give them 50, well, then wouldn't you keep looking? I mean, so companies are getting smarter about that kind of thing.
Well, I think they'd be wise to do that. That's good. What about, well, let's talk about this maybe for somebody, especially if they haven't been in a particular industry or they've gone through a shift. What about dress code? What are you seeing? It's kind of all over the place, you know, with what different companies and how they work. How do you tailor your tailoring to the particular job at hand?
So what I would do, I used to tell people to wear a suit no matter what. I think that's even in my book, wear a suit no matter what. However, these days, I think the best thing to do is to ask the person who's coordinating the interview what to wear. And the way I would ask it is, if I wear a suit to the interview, will I be overdressed?
That's perfect.
Because you want to let them know that you were planning to wear a suit, but you don't want to, you know, some companies... Like Google, I really don't think you need to wear a suit. I'm not positive, but there's a chance that that would be overdressed for Google or for a Silicon Valley type of job. And so I think if you ask the recruiter what their opinion is, you'll get a better response than just guessing.
Good, good. How about background history? You know, again, maybe somebody is looking for a new job for whatever reason, and let's say they've got some things in their background that are not good. They've been fired for something that wasn't good, or they committed a crime. Or, I mean, is that really going to haunt them? Is that something that they should volunteer right up front? Do that? I mean, because you know, any good employer that has a successful business is running background checks.
Oh yes, that is true. And I'll tell you this, David. The truth is that you are going to have a challenge if you've been fired for cause, or if you have committed a crime for sure. And I'm talking about even DUI. So you're going to have trouble. And what I want to tell you is that it's not the end of the world. There are ways to deal with it. There are ways to get around it. There are ways to talk about it so that you're not lying about it, that you explain what happened and that it won't happen again. But you really need to work with someone on that. And this is one of the areas that I specialize in, is helping people spin their stories so that they can get a job despite these problems in their career.
Well, that's good because I know everybody makes mistakes, but you've got to have a way to deal with that. Abby, I'm really glad you're with us. Let's grab another break. Abby Kohut is our guest, president of Staffing Symphony, absolutelyabby.com. And she's got the book, Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets. But when we come back from the break, she's got another opportunity to learn more about what she's doing and maybe leverage some of these secrets that she's got. So stay right there. More after the break.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past 10 years, Americans put a staggering $2.3 trillion into annuities? Despite their popularity, many people are unsure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake. So you can imagine that financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Call Holland Financial to get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan. This booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities, as well as straightforward information about their costs, features, safety, and income potential. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Abby Cohut on the line with us, and she's giving us some very good insight into getting a job, taking control of your career. And you mentioned earlier that there is, you've got the book and you've got your website, absolutelyabby.com. There's also another opportunity you're going to share with our listeners, Abby.
Yes. Well, I would like to offer everyone who's listening a teleseminar that I did, and it's called Interviewing Ingenuity. And it will take you from phone screening all the way through to negotiating an offer. And you can get access to it at my website called meetabby.com. So it's M-E-E-T and then Abby, A-B-B-Y.com. And if you plug in your email address, I'll send you that teleseminar. And, you know, while I'm at it, David, I'm in a good mood. So I had this other teleseminar that I recorded, and I'd like to give that to everybody also. So when you sign up there, I'll send you an extra one, and it's about headhunters.
Cool.
So I'm a corporate recruiter, so I'm not a headhunter, but I interviewed a headhunter and found out all the little tricks for them. And so we've got something called Headhunting Headhunters, so I'll give you that one too.
That's good stuff. I like that. Very good. So, all right, there's some resources there, meetabby.com. And so let's, kind of back over, you mentioned the phone screening and some of those other things. Another thing that I've heard, and I'd like to get your idea about, is what's called the informational interview. What is that, and should candidates ask for one?
Sure. An informational interview is kind of like a backwards interview. Normally, the employer is interviewing you. In this case, you're interviewing the employer. And usually, I recommend that people do this if they're trying to change careers or industries or something like that. So you're going to find somebody that's doing exactly what you would like to do or someone that's done what you like to do, and you ask them for an informational interview. You go on the interview and you interview them. You ask them about their career and where they got to and how they like their job and what did they not like about their job and things like that. Like specific.
Okay.
Pretend you're a journalist, in other words.
Okay, good. So it's not a ruse to get a job offer. It's really seeking information.
Right. And then at the end of it, you ask, is there anybody else that you think I could, that you have in your network that you could introduce me to that could help me with my quest to learn about your career, your industry, something like that.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And I've actually had somebody do this with me, come in and do the interview with me like you just described, Abby. And I thought it was interesting, and I didn't mind at all kind of taking that mentor role. And I think that what people should know is that a lot of folks that they might want to talk to, they will make time for something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and don't worry. So let's say one person says no, or let's say five people say no. Just keep looking, because there's going to be somebody that will say yes, and that might turn out to be the golden nugget.
There you go. That's good. Well, let's jump back over, because I want to make sure we get to this, because I'm sure the listeners are saying, hey, well, what are some other things I need to really be careful about? What are some of the big mistakes you've seen people make during the interview that you couldn't say before, but you can now, that, hey, look, if you avoid saying these five things or you avoid these mistakes, it'll help your chances a lot.
Okay, well, this clearly could take us an hour, David, so I'm just going to give you a few of my favorites. And so the one thing that someone once did, they walked into my office and they plugged their cell phone into my wall.
Mm.
That's a no-no.
Yeah.
And someone else picked up the phone during the middle of the interview.
Yeah.
Let's see. People do all kinds of things with body language. I had one guy swivel in his chair for the entire interview, back and forth, back and forth. That drove me a little crazy.
Yeah.
I had someone come in for the interview wearing flip-flops from the beach.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things. Oh, and there's this one. So a lot of you like to take notes when you go on an interview, and I recommend that you definitely do that. But what I would do is ask someone if it's okay for you to take notes, because sometimes they're giving you proprietary information about their company, and they don't want you to write it down. And one company in the aerospace industry confiscated the notes from someone, even though they said, yes, it's okay to take the notes. They confiscated at the end of the interview. They took the notes. So what I recommend to you is, even if they say it's okay to take notes, make sure on the top of the page you don't write, boy, this is some ugly guy, while you're interviewing with them.
Right.
That will probably make you not get the job.
Yeah. Well, if I'm an employer interviewing somebody, I want their undivided attention, and you need to be listening and talking and communicating and providing information, and as opposed to taking a dictation or transcription of what I'm sharing.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go. So you don't really prefer that they take notes. That's why I tell people to ask.
No, you need to have...
Not everybody likes that.
No, eyes on me. Eyes on me. Talk to me. Let me look at you. I'm evaluating you. You don't want to have... I'm not evaluating the top of your head as you're writing notes down. You need to be looking at me and talking to me.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go. That's what I tell people. You have to ask.
Hmm. Okay. How about some of these really silly, obnoxious, even, interview questions that we've heard over the years that... You know, some of them are just plain, you know, like, hey, what's your greatest weakness, or what, you know, some things like that. What do you say to somebody when they get that question? Because I know what I would say if I got that interview question, and thankfully I don't have to answer questions like that. What do you say when somebody gets an obnoxious question like that?
Well, it's funny. That's a question that every single recruiter is going to ask you, so you better know how to answer it. And even hiring managers ask that question. It's very, very common. And the thing is, a lot of people glaze over it, and they come up with something like, I don't know how to say no, or I work too hard, I stay too late, and these are not weaknesses. So I recommend that people come up with their actual weakness and be able to talk about how they're working on it or how their new manager can help them overcome it. So one thing you might say is, I'm a perfectionist. And while that sounds like a strength, and it is a strength in a lot of cases, it causes me not to finish projects because I keep editing and editing and editing, and I want to finish it, but I can't because I want to finish. I want to edit and edit and make it perfect. So, Mr. Manager, what you should do for me when I get to your company is you should give me a deadline every time you give me a project, and I'll be sure to finish it on time, if not sooner. And if you don't give me a deadline, I'll impose my own deadline. That's how I overcome this weakness.
Excellent.
So that is a true weakness, and it's my true weakness, by the way. So it's a true weakness, and that way someone knows that you're being honest and that you really understand yourself and you're giving them ways to help you, and just saying, I work too hard is just, you know, it's a cop-out. And
okay.
People know that now.
Excellent. Abby Kohut, ladies and gentlemen, president of Staffing Symphony, human resources and career development professional. Absolutely, Abby.com and meetabby.com. And we love having Abby on the program. Abby, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.